The following is a Sunday Feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 4, text number 34, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on May 6th, 2012, in Austin, Texas, USA.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Tadvidi Pranipatena. Pariprasnena Sevaya. Upadekshanti te gyanam ganinastatvadarshinaha.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. And just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Purport. The path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. Bhagavatam 6.3.19 says, Dharman tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help lead one to the right path. Nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master. And when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Not only should one hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one must also get a clear understanding from him in submission and service and inquiries. A bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind toward the disciple. Therefore, when the disciple is submissive and is always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatha Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghana Tanvitam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bhadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitamscha.
So, in this world, everybody's in anxiety. Everybody's in anxiety in this place. That's it. And people want to get free from that anxiety, you see. Everybody wants to get relief from the anxiety. So, if one actually wants relief, Krishna is giving the formula how to get relief. Bhagavad Gita presents perfectly and clearly and distinctly the science of how to become free of all anxiety. It's very rare, though, that someone will actually take to this pathway. That's confirmed in 7th chapter, text number 3. Manushanam sahasreshu kashchid yatati siddhaye yatatam mati siddhanam kashchid mang viti tatpataha. Out of thousands among men, even only one will endeavor for perfection, and out of a thousand who endeavor for perfection, hardly even one will know me in truth. So what are the mathematical odds? According to this verse, one in a million, you see. So does that mean you cannot become Krishna conscious? No. It means that if you're even interested in Krishna consciousness at all, you're a very rare soul to begin with. You're already standing heads and shoulders above the general population, just by your interest. Even if you can't fully take to it, you're already, you know, heads and shoulders above everybody else in the material world. And if you can take to it, then you're heads and shoulders above those who are simply interested in it, you see. So if you really want to take to it, this verse is giving you the instructions how to do it. This verse, in a nutshell, is telling you what you can do if you want to actually become successful in spiritual life. If you want to realize God, if you want to attain the supreme perfection, you see. If you want to have perfect realization of the absolute truth, you see. And here's how you do it. The Sanskrit words here are very significant. Pranipatena. You see, that means unreservedly offering your obeisances, not only with your body, but with your consciousness also. That means you're surrendering. You see, actually offering obeisances means, now I surrender unto you. Is it blindly? No. Pariprasna is the next word. Pariprasnena, with inquiries, not stupidly, dumbly. You see. But intelligently, with full knowledge and understanding, and whatever knowledge and understanding is lacking, you inquire, you inquire, you inquire. Something doesn't make sense, you inquire. Until your intelligence is completely satisfied, you continue inquiring, 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 inquiring. That's pariprashna. And some inquiries in the third item is sevaya. See, well, I can bow down and I can inquire, but doing service, I mean, wow, you know, it's not my nature to do service. I don't think I can do that part of it. Well, you can't really take out part of the recipe, you know. If you want your banana bread to come out, you can't leave out the baking powder, you know. If you want the banana bread, you got to put all the ingredients in. Say, well, I'll inquire, I'll bow down, but I won't do any service, you know. Well, you just took out a third of the recipe, sir. And you might get a banana bread, it's not going to make it out of the bottom of the pan. You're going to have some goo at the end of you. When a little timer goes off in your oven, you're going to pull it out, and my God, this is just goo in the bottom of the pan. Well, the service is very important. Why is service is important? Because according to the degree of your service mood, to that degree you realize it. You see? If you have zero service mood, zero realization. You say, but I heard so many lectures. It's not academic. This is not academic. This is realized knowledge, you see. There's a treasure house of knowledge within your heart. You just have to tap into it. You have to soften your heart. If the heart is hard, the doors of that in the inner being, the inner self, will not open. They remain tightly closed shut, you see. But to the degree that you actually take up that mood of service, to that degree you realize God is. You say, well, how am I supposed to do that? You know, I wasn't trained that way. I know growing up as a kid here in America, I mean, I had zero service mood, absolutely zero. My father was always trying to get me to do, in the mood of doing things around the house. You know, he'd say, son, either do a job right or don't do it at all. I said, okay, Dad, I won't do it at all. You see, that was my mood. I'm not going to do it then. I won't do anything. And I mean, they'd practically pull my teeth and get me to do anything, you know. That was the American, growing up in America, that was the mood, you know. Well, I can sit and listen to the top 40 radio for the whole summer, but I can't mow the, you know, if you want me to mow the lawn, I mean, it's going to take an act of Congress to get me to mow the lawn, you know. I can spend 5 or 6 hours a day listening to the latest, you know, top 10 hits on the radio station, but I can't do any service, you know. And that's how we grew up in America. That's America. Welcome to America, you know. So, you know, to actually transition from that into an atmosphere of service, give me more service, it's very big transition, very, very big transition, you see. So where does one get the impetus to do that? Well, it actually comes from Prabhupada, you see. Because Prabhupada was so much in the mood of serving, and so much relishing that mood of serving, that it was infectious, you know, just to see Prabhupada in action, you know, it was infectious. If you think how much service Prabhupada did in the beginning when the boys didn't know anything about doing service, I mean, it's amazing what Prabhupada would do, you know. Here he is, you know, a 70-year-old man after 2 heart attacks, in a strange country, but he was so much with love and devotion, serving. Whatever little money, he would collect money by selling the books. And then when they would start having the lectures, you know, just a little tiny change would come in, hardly any money. Those hippies didn't, they weren't working jobs, you know. It was like there was no money, you know. There was no money, practically no money, but whatever little money was there, he would personally go, he would personally do the shopping, he would come back, he personally cut the vegetables, cook the feast, and then lovingly serve all these hippie boys, these young hippie kids with all this energy, but they're having an old man serve them, you see. Serve them, prasadam, you know, would lovingly serve them the prasadam, and they'd all leave, and he would wash all the dishes by himself, clean up, do the whole thing by himself, you see. Everything. And even there was no bathroom in the, well, there was a little toilet and a sink, but there was no, you know, bath, shower in the storefront. So they would come to Prabhupada's apartment and take their shower up there, and they were so much crude, non-service mood. Prabhupada, they'd have Prabhupada standing in line with them to take a shower, in his own shower. Not that let Swamiji go to the front. They would have him standing in line, if you can imagine. The lack of service mood, you see. So, how did this transition come? It was just because seeing Prabhupada in action, seeing that mood of love, just giving, and relishing the sweetest happiness, you see, in this mood of giving, then it melted the hearts of the devotees. How much Prabhupada was giving. My godbrother, he said that Prabhupada gave us so much love that we would try to reciprocate that love, and he would give us even more than, you see. Of course, we could never reciprocate that love, but the more we would try, then he would give even more love, you see. So what is devotional service? We talk about service and devotional service. Why devotional service? What does devotion mean? It means the love. If I'm devoted to you, I love you, you see. It means I want to serve you out of loving affection. Not that, do some service. No. Oh, I want to serve you because I love you, you see. So, this service is very important, moon, service moon. I remember as a young brahmachari, it was difficult for me, developing that service moon. And I even asked, there was a big festival one time in New Vrindavan, and I asked one of the big swamis, I said, because I knew you're supposed to be, Prabhupada said, don't be a lazy fellow, you know. He said, no one doesn't want to do any service. Don't be a lazy fellow. So I knew I was a lazy fellow. my nature, lazy fellow, don't want to do any service. You know, philosophize, take prasadam, kirtan, yeah, but service. It's a real transition for me. So I asked Prabhupada, I asked this sannyasi, Prabhupada wasn't there at the time. So I asked him, I said, how does one get over laziness? Because I really wanted to overcome it, see. I didn't want to be this lazy fellow, didn't want to do service. It wasn't fun, you know. I could see devotees who are in the service mood, and they could go on, they could relish the service, and I was envious, you know. I was envious, because they could serve and be really happy. Like some devotees love to serve prasadam, some just want to sit there and be served, you know. So I had the problem of wanting that kind of just want to sit there and be served, didn't want to actually do the service. I had that problem, you see. So I asked the Swami, I said, how do you get over laziness? And I was really scared he was going to say, by hard work. But I really had to ask because I really wanted to get over it, you know. And he gave such a profound answer. He said, by love. He just said two words. And it was so potent, and it's been reverberating in my heart ever since. I mean, that's such a profound instruction, by love, you see. So how do you develop the service mood, get over laziness? By love. If you experience how much love somebody has for you, if you can understand it, it's a matter of sensitivity, you know. We're very desensitized now. We're in this cold, impersonal shells we build around ourselves, you know. Like that old song, you know, I'm a rock, I'm an island, I touch no one and no one touches me. You see, this impersonalism is very much ingrained in our psyches in the modern age, you see. So, we got to learn how to be sensitive and actually see and open our hearts to see how a person is actually giving their love to me, you see. We have to open our hearts and see how the devotees are giving their love. We have to really, really lay aside all this mental garbage, you know, this impersonal mental garbage that we've accumulated in the material world. Just say, okay, I left my shoes at the door. I'm leaving my impersonal garbage out there with my shoes. I'm not going to bring it in the room here. All my impersonal garbage, I'm going to take off my shoes. I'm going to dump all my personal garbage into my shoes and leave it on the front porch, you see. When I come in here, no impersonal garbage. I'm just going to be open and sensitive to see how much I'm being loved, you see. And then by doing that, you get this inspiration. Oh, I'm being so much loved and cared for. I want to reciprocate. And this is why Rupa Goswami is given, and we described it in great detail at our seminar in Toronto about the six loving exchanges. Really nice seminar we had all day long. It was so sweet. Talking about these wonderful teachings on developing our love for Krishna, and the six loving exchanges was part of that. So, this is very important. We learn how to open our hearts to the devotees. We learn how we open our hearts so the devotees can open their hearts to us, and there's a reciprocation, heart-to-heart reciprocation. We give gifts. That means not only a tangible gift like offering a garland or some monetary donation, it means giving service also. That's a gift as well. I want to give you a gift. I'd like to do some service You see, that's a gift. And to accept gifts also. Like the devotees want to give us a gift. They want to offer us a garland or give us something. Then we will accept. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. We'll gratefully accept. And then to prasadam also. Serve prasad to the devotees, accept prasad from the devotees. So the more we develop these loving feelings, this service mood, you see, we become very happy and Krishna becomes real for us. Without a service mood, Krishna is just some philosophical abstraction that doesn't make a lot of sense, actually. It's just some philosophical concept, Krishna. You know, like, you might as well say the impersonal Brahman, you know, it doesn't make much sense. But if the service mood is there, then you actually realize Krishna. Because to the degree that you have service mood, to that degree Krishna reveals himself to you. The person Krishna is real. He's right here, right now. He's with you at every minute. And to the degree you have a service mood, you will experience him. And his wonderful love for you, how he's showering with mercy at every minute. So in this way, this verse is a very, very important thing. You see? We have to open our hearts. Can't remain like the tortoise in the shell, you see. Come out of your shell, tortoise. You see? Cannot remain in our shells, you know, clamped up. You know, got to open up. Okay. Hare Krishna. Come out of the shells, you see. We have a tendency to do that, you see. Pull into the shell. We got to come out of the shell. Open our hearts up. All right. Very important then. So, are there any questions?
So, the realized knowledge means once what you have personally experienced and gained what you have felt by yourself experiencing.
Realized knowledge means what you've personally experienced. In other words, that's correct. So, there's theoretical knowledge. Krishna is God. That's theoretical. But practical, when you actually experience Krishna as a person, you actually experience it. You see the deity and you actually realize God is standing right there in front of me and you feel something. Or God is appearing in the form of the Hari name. You feel something. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. You actually feel how God is appearing. Or a beautiful painting of Krishna. Oh, just see this amazing person, the source of all existence, who's now present right here in front of me. You see. You can say a mystical experience, you see. Devotee has a mystical, one who is actually advanced in Krishna consciousness, he's having a mystical experience at every minute, you see. In the kirtan, he's having a mystical experience, honoring prasadam, doing service. He's having a mystical experience. It's not just a mundane thing, you know, taking out the garbage. No, he's taking out the garbage for Krishna. It's a transcendental meditation. Arjuna was in a state of transcendental meditation on the battlefield. Wasn't an ordinary warrior. He was in a state of, he was in samadhi or trance while he was killing all those enemies. So devotee actually, it's not like some ordinary thing, you know, pull the weeds out of the garden. No, it's actually I'm connecting with Krishna. I'm feeling the presence of Krishna. I'm doing service for him. It's a transcendental experience of realizing Krishna, you see. So the service is just a vehicle, a means of doing that. Sometimes it just seems like a, you know, an unbearable austerity. But one just has to have faith in the process and do it. I know I really relish, you know, preaching, giving lectures. So I was doing that service in Atlanta Temple. They had me, I was the one that would go out and give some college classroom wanted a lecture, they would send me, or if a college classroom came to the temple, they had me do that. Somehow or other, I don't know how I got that mercy, but I really relished it. And I was the pundit, you know, who explained I was the philosophy professor, you know, Krishna conscious, for all the classes, and they would come, you know. It was great. And they said, okay, now we're going to send you to Houston. You can become the vice president there. Oh, wow, I'm moving up the ladder, you know. College preacher, now vice president. I was pretty excited about that. It's pretty enlightening. You know, upwardly mobile. ISKCON. I wasn't thinking like that, you know. And then I got there, and the cook invited me into the kitchen. He said, Krishnamurti Prabhu. He said, Sankarshan Prabhu, come here. I want to show you something in the kitchen. He said, here's your spoons, here's your spices, and here's your pots. All right, Bhav Prabhu, I'm going to Miami. You're the head cook. What? We call it a change-up, you know. I got changed up. I was told I was going to be the vice president, and I ended up being the head cook. And not only was the head cook, but the whole temple would go out on book distribution all day. And I had to do everything. I had to answer the door, answer the phone, offer all the artis, cook the deity sweets, wash the dishes, transfer the plates. Everything was on my shoulders. I mean, if I had to go to the bathroom, it was like, how you can manage it, you know? It was like, wow, it was unbelievable. And this huge austerity of a service was, and you know Houston in the summer, how hot and humid it is down there? There was no air conditioning in the kitchen, let me tell you right now. And that kitchen was just like going to an inferno. And that was my place. You know, working in the kitchen in the hot Houston summer, Houston, Texas in the summer with no AC. I mean, it was really, really what we call a yajna, a sacrifice. I mean, it was a heavy yajna, let me tell you. It was very heavy. And Papa told me to always be enthusiastic, so, you know, I just said I better serve my spiritual master's order and somehow just do it with enthusiasm, even though it's like really an austerity for me. But I can tell you one thing that happened as a result of them. My ability to hear and relish the words of Srila Prabhupada became multiplied 100,000 times. Because we have a few cassette tapes. There was one cassette tape sitting there, and we had a cassette player for the Govinda prayers, you know, and we also had a speaker in the kitchen. So we had in the Pujari room, there's a little, you know, tape deck and a sound system that piped into the kitchen, so you could stick the cassette in there and you could hear it. And it had auto-reverse, you know, we'd go back and forth. So we had one lecture on a tape. It was Prabhupada's Hyderabad Temple opening address. And I must have heard that, I heard that tape hundreds and hundreds of times. The same lectures in the back and front, over and over and over again. But I tell you, because that austerity I was doing, it was so intense, I didn't have time to read. Except once a week when I was stirring the burfi. You know, I would stir, and I'd read like this. And like somehow I didn't burn the burfi, Krishna's mercy. I was able to make proper burfi without burning it, the same time reading. There's the one time I could open a book at once a week when I was stirring the burfi. I mean, it was intense. It was so intense. But that was so purifying for me. So we have to have faith in this process. So I may be asked to do some service, I may not want to do it, but I should surrender. You see, I should just be in a mood of surrender. You say, why? You know, let me just enjoy. Well, okay. If you don't want to do this, okay. Then and face the reality of birth, death, old age, and disease. If you want to actually get out of the cycle of birth and death, then you have to follow Krishna's instructions. And this is what Krishna is saying to do. I may like it, I may not like it. I mean, let's say I go to, you know, I get a job at some company, right? And they, you know, they give me some, I needed a job, I need some income to pay my rent, so I find a job, a decent company, I get there, and they want me to do this and that. I don't really like to do this and that, but I do it because I have to do it to keep my job and get paid. Isn't it? How many people love every minute they do at their job? Wow, I love doing this. Even if they didn't pay me, I would do this. It's so relishable. I could just do this for hours, you know. It's so sweet and so nectarian. No, I hate doing it, but by golly, I have to do it. Otherwise, I'm not going to get paid. I won't be able to pay my bills. The bank will take my car back. I'll be out on the street with one of those guys who will work for food, you know, in the streetlight. I don't want to be in that position, you know. No place in the winter from the cold, no place in the summer from the heat. I don't want to be out on the street, on the, one of the street corners, you know, with like a derelict out there. So I got to do this. Somehow or other, I got to do it. Look, at least I have a job. There's somebody unemployed around. I can be thankful I got a job. So you do it because you have to, and you, because it's, even though it's not pleasing, you do it for another, for a higher purpose. It's called Shreya and Preya. What is immediately enjoyable is just to sit down, you know, go to Barton Springs down there and just, you know, have a good time swimming around in Barton Creek, you know. That's enjoyable to my senses, but, you know, reporting to work on Monday morning, ugh, you see. But I do it because to actually have a place, an apartment, to have money, that is worth it for me to do the austerity, you see. So in the same way, so that Shreya and Preya. Preya is what's immediately beneficial, and Shreya what's in the long run beneficial. So the same way in Krishna consciousness. I may not want to do any service. I may want to get up. I may not want to chant japa. So many things that are required to engage successfully in devotional service, as explained in the Nectar Devotions. I may not want to do those because I don't enjoy them. They're an austerity for me. But then, you see, now I'm just thinking in terms of prayer, what's instantly enjoyable for me. But if someone is only in that mood, you see, they'll just be a bum on the side of the street. If you want to actually have tangible happiness, you have to embrace the principle of Shreya, that which is ultimately beneficial for you. That you have to do. You see? And that means foregoing those things that are immediately pleasurable, doing things that are immediately unpleasurable to achieve that which is ultimately pleasurable. It's like I may not want to get up for Mangal Arti and offer an Arti or something like that. But I know by doing this, it's going to purify my consciousness to enable me to relish my actual spiritual identity as a servant of God and get me out of this gross misidentification with, you know, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, which is simply nothing but a cause of misery. So it's very important to be intelligent and not to be a fool. An intelligent person will do things and not immediately see a foolish man. He only wants to do what's instantly pleasurable. That's it. Something's not instantly pleasurable, I want nothing to do with it. That's the foolish man, you see. Intelligent man knows, let me do which is for my ultimate benefit, even though it's not immediately pleasurable. That's the intelligent man. So we have a choice. I can be a fool, or I can be intelligent. We have a choice. Yes?
Yes, Gurudev, this verse, it's all about serving the spiritual master and following him. And then over the years, we find our heart being purified. And the more we feel purified, the more we feel gratitude. So what I was wondering is, could gratitude be used as a barometer to see how much I'm getting rid of my pride?
That's a very excellent question. Is the attitude of gratitude a barometer of how much one is becoming prideless? The answer is resoundingly yes. That's an excellent question. And the answer is yes, yes, yes. The more I have a feeling of gratitude, that means I'm developing Vaishnava qualities of humility, pridelessness, servitude, etc. Any other questions? Yeah.
Is it wrong to be attached to a service?
Is it wrong to be attached to a service? Actually, it's great to be attached to a service. One should be very, 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 very attached to service, because service is the key to Krishna. The access to Krishna is through service. Now, as one advances in Krishna, and one advances in Krishna consciousness, he will become, his attachment will expand to any type of service, you see. And that's desirable. And the neophyte will say, well, this service I like very much, taking prasadam. That service I can handle, you see. And I really like that service, taking prasadam. And then, you know, advance a little bit more. Well, I would really love prasadam, but now I can get to the kirtan too. Yeah, that's pretty good too. I can groove with the kirtan, little chanting and dancing, you know, it's pretty divine. I can get into that. Washing the dishes, well, no, not ready for that yet. But then gradually, as one gets more and more purified, more taking prasadam, more chanting, more reading, you see. Then gradually the kind of services you're attached to, your portfolio of transcendental attachments starts to expand, you know, like somebody has a big portfolio of investments, you know. First you got one investment that's paying off nicely, then you got two, and then three, and then four, and then you got a huge portfolio like Bill Gates, you know, with, you know, thousands of profitable investments. So attachments are like profitable investments, you see. You invested your energy in, you know, making garlands, or, and now you've got attached to it. You put some energy into it, and now you're attached to it. Or you've learned how to hear lectures, you relish that, or studying. So the beauty of it is, even if there's some service you don't like, you know, like working in the garden or something, as we studied this morning in the Bhagavatam class, just by hearing, by developing the quality of hearing, then all the other things come automatically. So if one can be attached to hearing, I want to hear, just like we have that prayer, you know, my only desire is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from the lotus mouth of the spiritual master. That's my only desire, you see. So if one can, just because, even to that one attachment, if I can become very, 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 very attached to hearing my spiritual master, hearing the spiritual master speak, you see, then that opens the door to everything else. Even the other areas where there's no way I could ever get a taste for doing this or that or this or that, all that comes. You'll be surprised if you go on hearing, gradually you become attached to everything. And that's the desirable position, you see. Prabhupada said a sannyasi can do anything. You see. That's the real meaning of sannyasi. A sannyasi can do anything. You know, he can offer an arti, he can distribute books, he can take out the garbage, he can clean the toilet, he can go to the bank, he can count the money, he can do anything. That's sannyas, you see. Not that, oh, I want to be a sannyasi, but I don't like chanting 16 rounds. One person wrote me, I want to be a sannyasi, but, you know, I can't handle 16 rounds all the time. Now, they wanted the prestige of being a sannyasi, but they couldn't chant Hare Krishna, you see. So one has to become very, very genuine in hearing, very much attached to hearing. So the answer is yes. But if that attachment is genuinely transcendental, that being attached to any one service will automatically translate into becoming attached to other services as well. That's a sign of a genuine attachment, you see. Someone may be very attached to being a spiritual leader, for example. I want to be a big leader in ISKCON. I'm very attached to that. Yeah, I want to be a sannyasi, I want to be a GBC, I want to be a guru, I want to go be a big leader, you know, there are many followers. Some people are attached to that kind of a thing. One godbrother of mine very wisely said, if someone is attached like that, They'll get their followers, but they won't get Krishna, you see. So we're simply attached to one thing only. I'm attached, I want to do this, but nothing else. There's some danger, some tinge there of enjoying spirit instead of service mode. So it's okay to be attached to a service as long as you understand that this needs to, I need to become attached to all types of service. Let me use this attachment as a springboard to becoming attached to any type of service. If you're in that mood, then it's great. It's not wrong to be attached to a service, but if you say no to other types of service, then it's a problem, you see. Don't ask me to do anything except, you know, take prasadam. Don't ask me to do anything except, you know, I like playing the harmonium and leading kirtan. Don't ask me to follow, I just want to lead the kirtan. You know, it's, attachment is good. Any attachment to any type of service is great. But don't put a wall that only this. You see, then that, there's a danger if you say only this, not the other ones.
Only what I like.
And what's that, Jay?
Only what I like.
Yeah. It's great to be attached to doing what you like to do for Krishna, but the one who's really advanced is the one who can relish doing what he doesn't like to do for Krishna. Then you're really advanced. A neophyte devotee, yeah, if he's given something he likes to do for Krishna, and he's fired up about it, great. But if he only wants to do what he's attached to, then he remains a neophyte. He doesn't make progress. But that person who can do anything, whatever service you give me, you see, I have surrendered, I have a soul surrendered unto you, Gurudev, whatever service you give me, I'll embrace it as my life and soul. That's an advanced devotee. And that's the mood we have to come to. So keep your attachments, great, and then expand that, and use that as a starting point to expand out and learn how to become attached to every type of service. Don't negate your attachment to a service. Well, this is Maya. I like leading kirtan, so I shouldn't do it because it's an attachment. No. I like leading, I'll do it. But don't be demanding, you know, well, I have to lead the kirtan or I'm leaving. If I can't lead the kirtan, then I'm going to leave, I'll go home. You see, I've come to lead the kirtan, Prabhu, and if you lead it, I'm leaving, I'm gone. See, that sort of attachment is Maya. Attachment is great, but you got to be detached also. Got to be detached. Yeah.
In that regard, there's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita where Lord Krishna says we should cut down that material. It's the tree. What is the kind of tree that has all those roots on
it? Banyan?
With the sword of detachment. I think it means that we have to use the sword of detachment for our material attachments.
Yeah. No, we have to be detached. The thing is, the more you're attached to Krishna, you're automatically detached from Maya. So detachment comes automatically from one who advances in Krishna consciousness. Not that the jnani, they just want to be detached for the sake of being detached. And that's a very difficult position. Very, very difficult. Because they don't have a higher taste. But the bhakta, the devotee, he becomes attached to Krishna and therefore automatically detached from Maya. Any other questions?
Gurudev, it's not like people don't serve. They serve their families, they serve the friends, they serve animals. They are serving somehow. So the question is how to transform that service or that mood of love to Krishna.
Yeah. how to transform the mood of love. We're serving my dog and serving my wife, my kids, my neighbors, my family members, my community. But how do I transfer that to Krishna? It's a very important question, because until that service mood is transferred to Krishna, it remains imperfect and ultimately does not satisfy the self. Other services outside of Krishna are based on me wanting to get something back. They're not selfless. They're tinged with greediness. Therefore, they don't actually satisfy the self. I want to serve my family members. I'm not so interested in serving others, but my family members I want to serve, you see. So what is that based on? That's based on the false identification of the body, because actually every devotee, every living entity is your family member. Every living entity. Just like they have, you know, the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals over here. So where do the employees go for lunch? They go to McDonald's and eat cow. So-called, you know, non-cruelty people, but actually they're engaged in cruelty. Their services are, they're serving the dogs and cats, and they're eating the cow, you see. So the service is imperfect. So any service which is not God-centered will be tinged with material contamination. I serve my wife because she serves me. You see? That's why I serve her. So actually I'm just serving myself when I serve her. Because I'm doing that to get something out from her, back from her, I'm serving her. You see? So that's not pure. That doesn't mean you should stop serving my wife or my kid. It doesn't mean that. You have to change your consciousness, that's all. Instead of just serving my wife and kids, now you have to take that service mood and channel it to Krishna, the root of the tree of existence. And when you do that, then your service relationship with your wife becomes perfect. Now you're serving her in the best possible way of liberating her from the cycle of birth and death by your interactions with her. And your children, etc. So how does one make that transition then? From serving in a selfish way to serving in a selfless way. This is the whole process of devotional service. This is the whole process of accepting a spiritual master as described to you. Because when you act under the order of your spiritual master, he engages you in engaging your family members in pure bhakti. So you're still serving them, but now you're doing it under the guidance and instructions of your spiritual master. So before it was tinged by what you could get out of them. Now there's no tinge. You're doing it on the order of your spiritual master to liberate yourself and to liberate them from birth and death. So it's not that you become frustrated that your relationship has been, you know, diminished or minimized. Now you become more satisfied in that relationship because now you're guided how to make that relationship perfect. Before, it was always some tinge of what can I get out of it. And either in a gross or a subtle way, that tinge was there. And therefore, it was not fully satisfying. As Bhagavatam says, that devotional service has to be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. Even any slight tinge of what can I get out of this for myself will mean you cannot be satisfied in that relationship, fully satisfied. There'll be always frustration and dissatisfaction. That's why there's so many divorces. I serve my wife because I want to get out of her. And then when I'm not satisfied with getting something out of her anymore, she doesn't look as good as she used to or something like that, then divorce. So the it's very, very important to make that transition. That is done by putting oneself under the shelter and guidance of the bona fide spiritual master. And what is the spiritual master doing? He's simply engaging you as his spiritual master engaged him. Not way he's engaging you in a pure way. Exactly as his spiritual master engaged him in Krishna's service, now he also engages you in Krishna's service. The same way his spiritual master engaged him. And that way you make the transition through the medium of the spiritual master. That's how the transition is made. Does the spiritual master tell you to take sannyas? No. He's not going to tell you to take sannyas. He's going to tell you now, you have a first-class wife, first-class children. Now, serve them in the best possible way, you see. Does that answer your question? Any other questions? Yeah.
Similar point to what Prabhu was raising. Sometimes people come new to the community, and they want to just get integrated.
Sometimes people
are new to the community, like they come new to the temple for the
new to the temple. Okay,
they're new to the city, or they just, and the minute they come, they want to be a part of a community.
Yeah,
and sometimes they start doing services, not necessarily to serve Krishna, but just so that they get to become a part of that community and get integrated within the devotees. Is that considered a selfish thing? And if so, do we encourage them to keep doing service?
That's the beauty of the devotee community. Even knowingly or unknowingly, they're already getting connected. Because it's devotees engaged in devotional service. They just come with the idea of serving this, being a part of this community, by doing service, and unknowingly they're engaged in devotional service and becoming purified. It's the beauty of having a wonderful, you know, vibrant devotee community. And people coming and being inspired, not really understanding the philosophical deep meaning of the whole thing. They're just enlivened on that level, the community service level. And that's a beautiful thing about ISKCON, you see. People may not realize the benefit, but they just like to do some service. And by doing that, they become purified because it's all being channeled to Krishna. So is it wrong, their enthusiasm wrong? No. It's very good. Let them come. And they may not want to be devotees, may not want to surrender to Guru. That's all right. Just let them do service. Well, that service, they'll gradually become purified. And gradually they'll have realizations and awakenings. But that's not wrong at all. Let them all come and do service. Let the whole world come and do service. Even if they don't want to be devotee, they don't want, not that, well, if you want to give up meat, that you can do service here. No, everyone's welcome to do service. Of course, cooking in the kitchen, there are some rules there Prabhupada gave us. That's for actually brahmanas, twice initiated devotees. Altar service and kitchen, you know. Kitchen service and altar service, Prabhupada made that standard. Not always strictly followed now. We need to raise our standards. We're deviating from Prabhupada a little bit now on that point. Need to get back to Prabhupada's standards. But there's so many other services, you know, sweeping the hall, you know, building the Ratha Yatra cart, you know, pulling the cart, so many things. So let everyone come and be a part of it. The whole world come and be a part of it. Whether they know what's going on or not, let them all come and be a part of the festival, the festive atmosphere of the Krishna consciousness movement. Let them come and be a part of this wonderful festival that's going on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The nonstop festival. It's not just a festival when there's a festival. We're having a festival every minute here. That's confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Susukam means a great festival at every minute. That's devotional service. So let everyone come and be a part of the festival. Whether they know what is going on or not, it's all right. Everyone will come, they become purified, and then they'll gradually realize, wow, this is amazing. I didn't realize how wonderful. Now I have a deeper realization of how wonderful this movement actually is. I just thought it was a bunch of nice people doing stuff together. But now I see it's actually leading out of this cycle of birth and death. Okay? Does that answer your question fully? Okay. Yes.
Yes, Gurudev. So back to the issue of attachments and detachments, mm-hmm. could we conclude that the more we're attached to Krishna and serving Him, the more we're detached from the material?
Yes, the question is, can we conclude the more we're attached to Krishna, the more we're detached from the material world? Yes, the answer is yes. Anything else? Yes.
Sometimes it is liking a service and not liking a service, but sometimes it is the question of whether I know the service or not know the service. So when sometimes we may like something and sometimes we don't know how to do that service. So how do we handle that part?
Sometimes we don't know how to do the service. If I don't know how to do the service, Pari Prashnaina. That's the answer. You make inquiry. Prabhupada said, start a magazine. How do I do that, Prabhupada? I know anything about publishing a magazine. How do I do that? Prabhupada told them that Krishna will help you.
That's what I was thinking. If one is sincere, Krishna gives them intelligence.
Huh?
If one is sincere to take that instruction, then Krishna gives the guidance.
Krishna will give intelligence from within. If you're sincerely... Sometimes we see people, they say, well, you know, I like it. They're asked, can you wash the deity towels, you know? Well, I'm not qualified to do that. That's called word jugglery or a smokescreen. That I don't have a service attitude. I don't want to do that. That's what they're really saying. Don't ask me to do any service. That's what they're really saying.
Not only that, sometimes they think, oh, because the big head hasn't given me the service, I don't want to do it from some little guy.
What is it?
The big head hasn't given me the service, so I won't be recognized. So I won't do it because the little heads, they are asking me something.
Because who? What?
Little heads.
Little guy?
Yeah, big people and big person and...
If the spiritual master directs me, he asks me to do it, then I'll do it.
Yeah.
But if somebody else asks me to do it, I won't do it because I want the recognition from the spiritual master.
Yes. So I'll do that in front of the spiritual master so he'll see.
Huh?
Sometimes the devotees feel like that I have to do service in front of the spiritual master only.
If I can do it in front of the spiritual master... It's like we see that sometimes traveling and preaching, and some neophyte devotees, this spiritual master is there. Y'all, they're very eager. They want to be the one that's serving him. They want everything in front of the guru. They want to be show very great enthusiasm. But then somebody asks them to do something in the backup work, you know, not in front of the spiritual master. They had no desire to do it at all. No way. Forget it. They just want to be seen by the spiritual master doing the service. So that's very much a neophyte mentality. I mean, it's nice they want to do service for the spiritual master, but they have to understand that there's two presences of the spiritual master. One is his physical presence, the other is his instructions, and Prabhupada taught us the second one is more important. Because if I'm dependent on the physical presence of the guru, will he always be physically present? Even if he's staying in my temple, he's going to leave his body one day and go to Goloka. So what will I do then? We see that when Prabhupada left the world, many devotees left the movement, you see, because they hadn't understood the importance of connecting with the spiritual master through his instructions. So the spiritual master instructs that you should work cooperatively with the local leaders. That was Prabhupada's direct order to me. So even though I didn't have much personal contact with Prabhupada in terms of being in the same place with him, I had his instructions very clearly given to me, personal instructions. And he told me to follow what the temple leaders said. So I did that, and I got that feeling of being connected to Prabhupada by following carefully and sincerely the instructions that my immediate superiors gave me. So we have to learn in that way. To the spiritual master wants me to cooperate with the other devotees who are in charge of the center or the temple, and do what they say. You see, that will please the spiritual master greatly. So it's very important that we have these understandings that the vibrational presence of the spiritual master is more important than his physical presence. That vibrational presence, I can be connected with 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I just have to learn how to follow the orders of my spiritual master. Does that satisfy, that elucidate it as per your understanding of what you wanted to say? Does that elucidate what you wanted to point out? What did she say?
I don't know.
She said, I don't know.
Oh, you don't know. Okay. All right. Was there any other questions? Yeah.
You did. Sometimes we're like doing something, like our mind and emotions like kind of override what's our, like, the greater good is. Like, we lose sight of that and think actually like what we're doing is better, or like that. Like, what we're doing is the right way, and what someone else is trying to make us do is the wrong way, even though what they're trying to make us do is the right way.
Why don't you kind of run that by me again? I got a little confused there.
Sorry. So, like, you know, there's Shreya and Preya, right? Like, the greater good and the lesser thing, like, immediate good. So sometimes, like, our mind and emotions, like, block us from actually seeing what is, like,
ultimately beneficial.
Interest, and we actually think that the person who's trying to give us what's in the greatest interest...
The person what?
The person who's trying to give us what's, like, in our greatest interest...
The person who's trying to do what?
Give us what is in our greatest interest...
Oh, okay.
...is actually in the wrong. So
We think that they're in the wrong because of our...
Like, our emotions and our mind, like, just telling us so many things. So how do we actually genuinely realize that they're... trying to give us the best thing.
Yeah. We may see, why are they hassling me with this instruction, you know? Why don't they just stop messing with me and let me enjoy myself? Instead of realizing that actually it's kind of like you know, the doctor giving you this treatment that you don't really want to do, you know? That maybe I should go to a different physician. This is too much. I have cancer, and he told me he had to do this. Maybe there's got to be another way. Maybe go try an alternative type of medicine instead of going through this heavy treatment that the MD is giving me. You see, they're like, let me shop around for another deal. You know, this is too much. This is why scriptural knowledge is very helpful. It's called seeing through the eyes of the scripture. As long as we see it through our own emotions, we're going to be misled 95% of the time. But the more we can read Prabhupada's books and see everything through Prabhupada's books and think, what would Prabhupada want me to do in this situation? I see. How can I please Prabhupada in this situation? What would Prabhupada want me to do? What does Krishna want me to do? The only way you're going to get out of you being caught up in the mano ratta, the chariot of the mind, is to see through the eyes of the scripture. So that's why we have to study regularly to understand, what does Krishna want me to do? What attitude does Krishna want me to have? How should my mind, what should I be saying? What should I be thinking? What should I be doing? What does Krishna want? One has to be constantly, you know, because our tendency is to be pulled back into the lower modes of nature. In this age of Kali, the lower modes are predominant. And man is a social animal. By the whole atmosphere we're in, the atmosphere at work, the atmosphere when we go shopping, the atmosphere on an airplane, wherever we are in the material world, that atmosphere is pulling us away from Krishna consciousness. I mean, just walking down the aisle of the grocery store, it's like the material energy is pulling, sucking away from Krishna. Everywhere, this material energy is sucking us away from Krishna. Sucking, you know, pulling the mind away from Krishna. Everywhere we go. That's why the association of devotees is so vital. That's why doing devotional service under the guidance of the devotees is so vital, because it liberates us from that pulling away the material nature, the influence of Kali, pulling our minds away from Krishna. By joyfully accepting the service that's given to us, that will change our consciousness. It will transform our consciousness from material to spiritual. So even though I don't want to do something, in my emotions it's saying, no. We should be a little thoughtful and think, let me not give in to that emotion. Or even if we do give in, and we realize it was a mistake, we should go back and say, oh, I'm sorry I said that. I am really sorry. Because sometimes that'll happen, you know. We'll be asked to do something, and our emotions will say, no. You see? But then we should think about it, well, I really shouldn't have said that. So then we should go back and apologize. I'm really sorry I said that. Please engage me in service. Please be kind and engage me in the service. That's how we should deal with it. We should nip it in the bud. If it starts to come up, just control ourselves, not let it come out. Or if it does come out, and we will 5 minutes later, then we should apologize. That's what we should do. And gradually, by doing that, you know, even if we slip as neophyte devotees, you know, apichat siddhadacharo bhajate madhvache mammananya bhak sadhare virshaman shava. In this way, Krishna says that even if they slip, if they again take up devotional service, they are considered to be great saints, Krishna says. So even if I mess up, I really screw up, my anger, my emotions get in the way, it doesn't mean I'm finished as a devotee, no. All I have to do is, say, oh, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, and then go back and take it up again. And it's forgiven, completely forgiven immediately, the mistake I made. Because Krishna says, even if they commit the most abominable action, if they engage in devotional service, they're considered a great saint. Sadhar eva samantavya, considered to be a sadhu. Does that answer your question? Okay.
Yes, Prabhupada, in that regard, then is it sometimes like a decision every minute we have to make? What would Guru want? What would Krishna want? And then we have to choose.
Are you asking if we should always be meditating like that? What does Guru and Krishna want? Are you asking that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. One may say, well, this is too much of an imposition. I mean, my God, I have to always be thinking what Krishna wants. But this is liberation. Nikalasapyavastasu jivan mukta sa uchate, Rupa Goswami explains. For one who is always engaging his body, mind, and words in the service of Krishna, he's already a liberated soul in all conditions of material existence, you see. Doesn't matter if he's at work, he's at the temple, he's at school, he's at the grocery store, he's at the commute. Wherever he may be, someone who's actually consciously engaging his mind, words, and body 24 hours a day in Krishna's service, he's no longer of this material world. He's a liberated soul. Jivan Mukta. He's a liberated soul. He's completely free from the anxiety of death, the anxiety of disease, the anxiety of old age, the anxiety of dishonor, all the anxieties we have in this world. He's liberated completely from all of them. He's constituted in pure samadhi, transcendental trance, beyond this material existence. And that's the greatest achievement. It's greater than being Brahmaji, the Lord of the whole material universe. And that's available for anybody who wants it. You just have to work for it. You got to train yourself. How hard is it when we're to get a college degree? It's like you got a BA in philosophy. You had to do a lot of hard work to get that, isn't it?
I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
It's hard work. So in the same way, if you want Krishna Bhakti, you have to work. You have to work out. I mean, you didn't. I'm sure you'd enjoy all those classes and all those papers and all those exams, but you did it because you wanted that degree. So in the same way, you're not going to like everything you have to do. And for any of my devotee, I'm not going to like everything I have to do. But I do it because I want that the goal of pure Krishna consciousness. I do it. So with the same mood of a student in getting his college degree, with the same mood we do bhakti. You see, so Vaidhi Bhakti in the beginning, you know, that's following the rules and regulations. But that's not the essence of it. That's supportive of the essence. It's the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, not the International Society for Rules and Regulations, thank God. The point is, we're doing this to become Krishna conscious, so I can relish the nectar of my eternal relationship with the supreme source of all existence. And that's why I'm doing these things. If we keep that vision, just like the example I've many times given, there was three men laying bricks. And one fellow came by and he saw them, and one bricklayer was like, he's just like begrudgingly doing it. He's a miserable, depressed and morose character. Just the other one was like so-so. The other one was like, wow. He was just like, he's like an artist, you know, doing a painting. You know, he was just, oh, just doing it beautifully. Every little thing, he with love, he was laying those books. So this person was amazed. They're doing, all three of them doing the same thing in three different consciousnesses. So he asked the first one, what are you doing? He says, I'm laying bricks. He asked the second, what are you doing? He says, I'm building a wall. He asked the third, what are you doing? He says, I'm making a beautiful cathedral for the Lord. You see? So it's the same activity, but different consciousness. One guy is miserable, the other guy is just kind of, all right, so-so. The other one is blissed out. Is it? The same activity, but three different consciousnesses. So you have a choice. You have control over your own consciousness. We all have to do something. Everybody has to do something in this world. We all have to do something. By the nature of this material world, everybody has to do something at every minute. What is the consciousness with which you will do it? You have that control. What consciousness will I have while I do this? That's your choice. That's your power. You see, you can do it begrudgingly, you can do it so-so, or you can do it in ecstasy. It's your choice. The same thing. It could be pulling weeds in the garden. It could be, you know, washing the dishes. It could be leading a, chanting Hare Krishna. Doesn't matter, but the activity, the consciousness will make you or break you on the path of self-realization. Any other question? Okay.
Yes, Gurudev. How do we keep from being distracted? It's said that even in the spiritual world, sometimes devotees are distracted by the flowers there because they're too fragrant, too beautiful.
Where did you hear that?
I can't remember in one of probably.
They're distracted by the fragrance of the flowers?
Yes,
no. Devotees are never distracted from Krishna for a minute in the spiritual world. That's not true. Even if they have a, even if they have the most beautiful wife you could ever imagine, the women there, I mean, the women, they're indescribably beautiful. The men and women both, they're all, they're unbelievably beautiful, and they have men, husbands and wives in the spiritual world, but they're not as, they're the men are not distracted by for even one nanosecond by the beauty of their wives, nor are the wives attracted by one nanosecond by the beautiful features of their husbands. They're all completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness at every minute, even though the gopi girls are just unbelievably beautiful. No cowherd boy gets diverted from thinking of Krishna, seeing those cowherd girls. He's not diverted from Krishna consciousness for a minute. There's not the slightest tinge of distraction. I don't know who said such a nonsense thing like that. Some mental, sounds like a mental speculator. Yeah. Any other questions? Yeah.
One is liking it. Second thing, one is liking a service.
Yeah.
Second thing is
tolerating it. The third is hating it.
No. sometimes overwhelmed, when we get overwhelmed with service.
Huh?
When a person gets overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed.
So at the same time, it has to be done. So how do we handle that situation?
Yeah, that happened to me in Houston that year. It was like overwhelming, you know. How do you handle it? When it's overwhelming, it's like I want to be in the right mood, but it's like I've been working so hard, I'm exhausted physically, and now my mind is also getting exhausted. So how do you handle it? It's called, you feel like you're really getting overloaded now. It's more than you can handle. Then you should talk to the devotee who's engaging in the service, explain the difficulty. I remember one time it happened to me. I felt like it was really more than I could handle. I had volunteered to help the Ratha Yatra site to get the cart ready, you know, for the parade. This is 71 San Francisco. Actually, I hadn't even started doing the service yet. But then someone said, Prabhupada's arriving at the airport, and someone was in a van. They said, they were getting ready to pull off in the van. We're going to the airport to meet Prabhupada. So I didn't even start doing the service, but I felt already overwhelmed by the service. Prabhupada's at the airport. I felt like, you know, I felt, even though I hadn't done any service yet at all, I'd gotten there to help Jayananda get the Ratha cart ready, It was overwhelming for me. Emotionally, I was overwhelmed that Prabhupada's arrived. I've never seen Prabhupada in my life. I've never, ever seen him. And he's arriving at the airport, and somebody invited me to hop in the van and go to the airport. I was overwhelmed by that. So, what to do? You just hop in the van and go? No, that'd be very offensive. I volunteered to do the service for Jayananda. He's a great Vaishnava. It'd be a great offense if I had just taken off. So what do? It's like damned if you do and damned if you don't. If I don't go to the airport, I'm this prophet. If I do go to the airport, I'll offend Jayananda. What to do in that situation? You just ask Jayananda, beg for the mercy. So I said, Jayananda Prabhu, I've never seen Prabhupada before. Can I go to the airport? He said, yeah, go. He looked around and saw he had enough help. He said, yeah, go. So I had my first darshan by the blessings of Sriman Jayananda Prabhu, first Prabhupada darshan. So, yeah, if you have some service and you want to do it, you're sincere, but it's like overwhelming you, just humbly explain the facts to the person who's engaging in the service. I really want to do this service, but I'm very tired, or I haven't finished my rounds yet, or, you know, this or that. Explain them the true situation. And devotees are kind, they're merciful, they're not cruel beasts. Just, you know, they're like taskmasters, or what do they call it? Toil masters, yeah. They're not toil masters, just make you work hard like a beast of burden. They're not like that. That's not the mood. Devotees are in the mood of loving service to Prabhupada, to Krishna, to Guru. They're not in the mood of loving service, and they just want everybody to be able to taste that mood. So if there's some difficulty, you can just humbly explain. I've been doing service all day and I'm tired, I haven't finished my rounds yet, or, you know, whatever the reason may be. Explain honestly. The devotees are considerate. They're kind. Anything else? Yeah.
So Gurudev, considering that a neophyte devotee is naturally, you know, attracted to a certain kind of a service,
mm-hmm.
or repelled by another kind of a service,
mm-hmm.
how does a spiritual master choose to engage that neophyte devotee? Mm.
Actually, Prabhupada says in his books, the spiritual master tries to engage the disciple according to his propensity. That's the spiritual master and those who are acting also on behalf of the spiritual master, engaged devotees, they always try to do that. It's natural. It make any manager in ISKCON knows the easiest way to manage is engage people doing what they like to do. It makes things easier, you see. That's the mood of the spiritual master and those who are engaging and who are managing. That's the mood that they, that's their mood. But what should the disciples' mood be? Whatever I'm asked to do. But at the same time, you can inform what your propensity is. The disciples' mood is to be surrendered fully. And that's the proper mood. So the authority should think, let me engage him according to his propensity. The disciples should think, let me do whatever I'm asked to do. And of course, you can always explain the situation to the authority so they can have a better understanding of how to engage you in such a way that you're happy and satisfied. Just like I explained to Jayananda, you know, I haven't seen Prabhupada before and there's a van going to the airport, can I go? I explained that he understood. There's a brahmachari, he'd never seen Prabhupada ever before. He understood, he was sympathetic. So you just got to tell the truth. But the mood is to be prepared to do whatever you're asked to do. That's the proper mood. That's called surrender. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Are you satisfied?
Yeah, it confirmed what I thought.
Yeah, yeah. The beauty of it is that gradually there won't be an anxiety for us, you know, as we advance in Krishna consciousness. The beginning, I hope they don't ask me to do this service, you know. There's an anxiety. But gradually that goes away, and it's wonderful as that happens. Just like when I was a young brahmachari, like a fast day was like something you would dread, you know, oh no, a fast day. But then gradually over the years, now, oh, a fast day, great. I relish the fast days now. At least a half day fast, pretty easy. Full day, it's a little bit austerity, not so much. In the beginning, it was like, oh no. No breakfast? Oh. You know? So gradually, it's amazing that you can watch, you can study your own psyche as it gradually matures. It's an exciting thing to do, is to watch yourself grow spiritually over the years. You stay in the process, you chant your rounds every day, sincerely try to do the services given to you, and just observe your own advancement. It's like watching and just seeing your own advancement is like watching an exciting movie. It actually becomes like that. Just observe your own advancement in Krishna consciousness, it becomes a thrilling adventure. To witness your own advancement becomes exciting. When you see this process is actually working, I'm actually transitioning from a greedy, selfish, lusty, angry beast into a saintly person. It's wonderful to see that happening in one's own heart. It's a wonderful experience to see this process is real. I mean, I was such a horrible character, but now people are inspired by me, and it's amazing to me. It's unthinkable that people could be inspired by me. But now they're becoming inspired by me in their Krishna consciousness. Krishna has done a wonderful thing on me. You see, one can see that happening to oneself. Gradually. You want us to be patient, but it does happen. Anything else?
Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, there are four types of people come to me, mm-hmm. render devotional mm-hmm. service. Sometimes four kinds of one who is inquisitive, someone mm-hmm. who is, and somebody who is looking for material benefits. Mm-hmm. So when they are in process of getting the material thing, they are very happy to do anything and everything. But once they acquire, they shun it.
So they what?
They shun it.
Shun it. Yeah, I've seen, some devotees, they had a desire to become big leaders, they got the position, And because they wanted something for themselves, and they came to Krishna consciousness movement for it. And once they got it, because they were cultivating pure bhakti, that after a while, the mode of passion, the thing, mode of passion is nectar in the beginning and poison in the end. They had a passionate desire for a certain thing, and they came for it, and they got it, but then that thing lost its luster after a while.
Because they like that position, that like that service, or like that things, you know, whatever it was.
Yeah, the thing is that means they can't, their service in the mode of passion, and the mode of passion turns to poison. So unless one is actually cultivating detachment and transcendental consciousness, which is a sattvic activity, which will then they'll give up Krishna consciousness and do course.
That's what we have seen many times.
Oh, again and again. Devotees are getting some passionate pleasure out of Krishna consciousness.
They're very happy.
Once that passion burns out, they go in. That's a thing. So one has to, the way that you have to cultivate to engage your passion in Krishna's service, it's okay. But simultaneously, on two tracks, you have to cultivate the sattvic aspect. You have to. Otherwise, you'll be gone. You'll be history before you know it.
And these wishes only to get the material benefit, and they got it, and they don't want to get involved.
Yeah.
They feel pressured and all kinds of things. So
you've got to cultivate transcendental knowledge and transcendental consciousness. That you must do that, otherwise you'll be gone today or tomorrow. You'll be out of here, and you'll be back in the cycle of breath and death. You may find yourself in an animal body in the next life.
Thank you.
Anything else? Yeah.
You said that it's fascinating sometimes to look back and see how one has progressed.
Oh, it's marvelous experience to see how the mercy of the spiritual master has transformed one's heart. It's a marvelous experience.
So, but that's not a form of pride. Oh, look.
No, it's giving. It's a matter. No, it's appreciating the causeless mercy of my spiritual master. How he, by his blessings, I have been transformed. It's, if one takes credit for himself, then there's danger of fall down. Yes, because I controlled my senses so rigidly, because I'm such a great transcendentalist. I was the most wicked, despicable rascal character, but now, for the mercy of my spiritual master, I'm developing a taste for the holy name. That's it. And one has to give all credit to the spiritual master and to the Vaishnavas. Otherwise, you will fall down to the false pride.
If that kind of genuine transformation is happening, then others can also see the transformation.
Yeah. It would be obvious to everyone.
One doesn't have to say that, oh, I have made so much transformation. But others can also see the transformation.
This reminds me of that one brahmachari. He said, they just call me the Paramahamsa Brahmachari. And he was gone shortly after that. Never haven't been back yet. Riksha Raj Das Brahmachari. I was on the traveling party with him.
Because as it is said, that the face is the index of the mind. And what is happening?
Face is the index of the mind. So how does that relate to this point?
No, so if really somebody is genuinely having a part of transformation of blissful devotional service and devotional life, that everybody can see it.
He becomes like a sun god. His face becomes blissful and effulgent. Everything becomes soft and radiant about him.
You can see that in some of the devotees. Very blissful. You can see them. And others, you can see them.
Just like I told the devotees in Kaunas, they said they were doing a Harinam. I said, anybody who goes on Harinam, they're going to come back to the Sunday feast, we'll be able to immediately see who went on Harinam and who didn't. Whoever's like a sun god, they were out on Harinam, you see. They'll be the effulgent ones. We see, I had, we were going to come back after the Harinam, and I said, the Sunday feast, we can immediately be able to see who was on Harinam just by the looks on their faces. And the ones that were on Harinam, they were just radiating nectar, you know. Radiating nectar. Because they had gone out to share the holy name with the general public. They weren't selfish and greedy. They wanted to go out and share the mercy with the general public. And they were the beautiful sun god devotees you see in the temple room that afternoon.
That can be for one day, but
the
whole life transformation is quite different.
The same principle, you just expand it out.
Yeah.
Same principle, yeah.
Anyway, it's getting late.
Okay, we'll stop here. We thank you all very much. And Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.